People who are making a difference in the collective of our planet at this time, people who are participating in the great change, the shift, to be more consciously creating our reality. And how is it we go through change, and what does it mean to reach some kind of emergence? What are we emerging from? I have a wonderful, wonderful guest tonight, which is Ginger Mitreau, who also channels Galexis. So we're getting a number of mints in one, Ginger. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
Well, let's talk about change, and how's it going for you as a woman, let alone Galexis as a collective being?
Well, personally, I'm finding that this period that we're going through, Galexis keeps referring to it as the great chaos that the country and the planet is going through, is, in a sense, for me, triggering a lot of detoxing.
Oh, good.
I'm detoxing a lot of my resistances, my fears, my angers, and I'm doing it with a physical detox program, which is amazing because I can just feel stuff come out of from my small intestines, like I stuffed a whole bunch of stuff there, and it just shows up. And
of course, that's a great subconscious center, isn't it?
Oh, gosh, yeah. All that. It's you know, it's always around issues of, like, power and will and choice and things like that, and so that's been really dumping very nicely, and so it's given me the opportunity to kind of envision where I'm wanting to go in a new way.
And that's really the key, isn't it? Because my guides are always saying, once again, it's the envisioning, but also the clearing is 95% of the job, as they keep saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's and what are you doing? For example, are you going to stay in the California area? Are you staying put? Are you going to make big changes?
Well,
like
right
that?
Now, what we've decided to do is to stay here another year. We came to the L.A. area,
mm-hmm.
and we're doing workshops, Galexis workshops here in the area, and we've decided to shift our marketing kind of focus. And so what we're doing, because Galexis is so into this emergence thing, seeing
I
so
can
many
see
people
why.
Flailing around and all the chaos and the darkness and stuff, that we are putting together a Wednesday night series, very inexpensive, very easy, and anybody who shows up, Galexis is going to really start, you know, pushing them, pulling them, you know, downloading them, whatever they need to do to kind of get them through the chaos and get reoriented and get, you know, start coming out the other side. Because, you know, as we are light workers, Galexis says, it's like, you know, who's gonna do this if not us? You know?
We've certainly been in training long enough, haven't we?
Absolutely.
Well, it's wonderful to have you on the show, and love to hear from Galexis. Maybe we're ready already, are we?
I suppose that we are.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to head on out, and there'll be a few seconds of silence, and then Galexis will be with you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Ginger.
It's
good to talk to you.
Yeah, good to talk with you, too, and good luck with all the wonderful things you're doing in your show. It's just it's really great for everybody.
Thank you so much.
All righty. Bye for now.
Bye. Oh, boy, I'm looking forward to this, too.
All right, we are here.
Good evening. Thank you so much for coming and supporting us in our change and our emergence.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's our pleasure to be here this day.
It's wonderful. How are you seeing the changes in the collective at this time? Are you seeing, how are we doing?
Well, actually, you're doing probably better as a group, as a whole, than you give yourself credit for.
Good.
All right. A lot of people are very disoriented, and some are quite disturbed because it's almost as if the foundations of the and structural, foundations that people could rely on in the society have these foundations have pretty much started to disintegrate.
They really have, haven't they?
Yeah, and the banking system was a huge system that basically held a lot of political frameworks around the planet in place, in the same, let's say, relationship to each other.
Right.
You know, the United States as a country, as a player on the world field, was able to utilize so much money and to do this and to do that and to buy friendships and to buy alliances and to threaten and coerce others and so on, has kind of been using it a little bit at, like a bully over the past few years. But the opportunity, though, that comes with this dissolution or this crumbling is yet for the world to see. It's those of you who are reality creators, those of you who are light workers, are going to be seeing the United States take a different role. After all, it's almost if this economy here is in deep trouble, then the United States will not be able to leverage and play, you know, whatever what we would call high school games, you know,
yes.
to manipulate favors and alliances. So,
how far do you think? How far along? Like, for example, is Obama and his administration able to really deal with this, or is it way beyond any one group?
Well, actually, what is so interesting and part of being on track is this arrival of this almost in a sense dark horse that Obama has been to the White House. Nobody knew much about Obama 3 years ago, you know, and all of a sudden here he is president, a junior senator, you know, from Illinois is suddenly the president. It's like his ascent has been very rapid, and he's quite young. However, this man is very connected to spirit. He's very connected to light. He understands relationships. And this is something that that is so important right now, because relationships give people orientation. They give people a sense of balance. They get a sense of, well, here's somebody I can bounce my ideas back and forth to or whatever. So relationships are very good for orientation. And at a time with all this chaos, for someone who is skilled and has people skills, who has relationship skills, this is the best option that this country could have made at this time.
So it was a good success.
It was a good success on the part of everyone who is saying, we need someone to help us to go through this coming dissolution of the old structures, so that we can set a new paradigm. And, of course, you know a lot about paradigms here. You are a paradigm shifter yourself. to set a new paradigm, to create a new frequency, to a new resonance for the planet, to where the option can be to work together rather than all this political sparring, you see. People have been asking for peace on Earth for, you know, many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense, the turn that has been required to go there has, in a way, by having Obama come into the presidency, has been set.
It's because
kind
of the unexpected.
A shift of focus, a shift of direction, away from the antagonism to working together. And it's not going to, of course, happen immediately. There's still bickering and fighting, as you might have seen in the Senate over the past few days, but nevertheless, over a longer term period, there is a new orientation that will gradually settle in. Now, on a personal level, people are going through this as well.
Mm-hmm.
because with the economic changes, people don't know what's ahead. What they have assumed and relied upon, it's like that rug has been pulled out from under them, you know?
That's for sure.
So
yeah.
All of a sudden, even if they are doing okay, well, financially, it still is unsettling because you don't know until you perceive it, until it seems to be happening, what the ramifications are of various things that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people said, oh, you know, the banks issue, okay, we'll give them some money and we'll be able to borrow and spend again. But then they realize with so many layoffs that people are saving and not spending. And so because people are not spending, there's more layoffs, you see, and there's this kind of ripple effect between all the foreclosures and all that kind of thing. And then the ripple effect occurs not just here amongst the population here, but the ripple effect of this whole crash came all around the planet. Other cultures, other countries, they're looking at how are they going to function? How are they going to work? How are they going to pull through?
But tell me this, Galexis, is it possible that new systems can rise simultaneously to...
Well, that's just what we were about to say, actually. Okay. So we're glad you brought it up, because because when you go into this period of change, because you're in a huge period of change, as it's pretty obvious, yes, around the planet, is that everybody's got to make some kinds of adjustments. The opportunity is extraordinary to create some kind of new platform, some kind of new foundation. And as we'd say, the foundation of togetherness, of working together, is going to be pivotal. And as this country pulls through, being in a sense, a spiritual leader, you see, then the rest of the world will find that this is what's going to work better. They're going to find that the usual bickering and the wars are not going to have the same, in a sense, the same effect. And also, they're going to run out of money to buy all those warheads and all those arms.
You know,
in a sense, there's going to have to be a point at which all the warring is going to have to recede, because people are going to have to survive.
So is it harder to, let me see, how can I put this? I want peace like many of us do, and yet sometimes I wonder if human consciousness and the historical rages between certain segments of society, is that also going to be so formidable that people don't stop it, you know?
Well, for now, it's still, as you say, too formidable. It is. Right now, people don't have any other option. But you see, when those of you who emerge out of the chaos, emerge out of the darkness with a clear light, with a sense of presence, holding that new resonance, holding that dream of how it can be. When you emerge, this is going to have impact around the world, because even though that warring just will continue because it's a habit that's been going on for who knows how many years, for some centuries, you know, even though that warring is going on, it is becoming less and less satisfying even to those who were doing it. It's becoming less impactful as far as the changes in behavior that it makes the opponents go through. It's just not having the same depth of impact, and it's just not resolving anything.
I want to ask another thing, which is I keep seeing these shifting frequencies that come flowing through from the universe and so on. Doesn't that kind of roll through and impact these, not just impact, but actually roll through the consciousness of even the people?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But you see, everyone is experiencing these waves. Everyone is experiencing these energies, which are part of the new frequency. But only some people can pick it up and actually utilize it.
So some might go into struggle.
Well, yes, you see, any time a change happens, any time an orientation is lost, and we would say that this is a very big orientation, and it's even a cultural disorientation. The thing is that if for a while people are going to flail around doing whatever it is that has been their habitual survival response. You know, a lot of people call it the flight or fight mechanism, or however people respond to stress. Mm-hmm. Now, on a personal level, you know, if you put together a personal change that's small, you'll feel disoriented maybe a day or two or something, and then you clear out a little issue of some sort, and then you reintegrate it into your what you've learned and so forth into your life, and you feel changed a bit. And after a little bit of disintegration and a little bit of disorientation, you step forward and reintegrate and reorient. Now, that can happen for just a little process that you go through, a meditation that you do. But you see, if it goes on for a week, you know, or 2 weeks or 6 weeks, it can start to seriously unnerve you. It can, in a sense, make you feel insecure. And so all your compensations for insecurity will start bubbling up to the surface. That's one of the reasons why people are saving money rather than spending it now. Mm-hmm. They're getting very insecure. Are we going to have this money this time next year? We better hold on to it. You know, now...
Well, how long do you think the process will take as far as...
Well, there's certain things that people will have to go through. It's a process. It's an experience of taking this energy and shifting from an old energy paradigm into a shifted or new or greater expanded one. And this is happening not just personally, and you know how strange it can be to be in the chaos, which is that disorientation period between the old and the new. This chaos period is huge, and it's happening for the whole culture, you see. Mm-hmm. And there's certain ways to get through the chaos, and those of you who are more conscious, those of you who are more aware, are the ones who are going to find your way through the chaos. And in the chaos, there is the darkness, you see. And to find your way through the darkness, through the unknown, and lifting up through and weaving your way through the uncertainty, okay, and through the recreations and redreamings, and working your way into a new manifested reality for yourself. Now, as you do this, you are working on the mass consciousness level now. Now, in the past, you would work on your own stuff. But since, we would say, the fall of 2006, those of you who are light beings, who are working on bringing in more light, working on new visions, working on new dreams, lifting out of the old and detoxing their past, emotionally, physically, mentally, it's spiritually, in a sense, and embracing a new vision, will kind of emerge out of this chaos, emerge out of this darkness, out of this unknown. And this emergence will be like a beacon of light. And it will be like setting a blazing a trail, and other people will start to fall into that trail. Other people will start to be drawn to it. You know, some people who are light workers out there in the public, reaching out, touching people, are like yourself, are like lighthouses.
Mm-hmm.
And you have big beams of light saying, over here, there's light over here.
That's really exciting to talk about the emergence. What do you think people should learn about? Like, learn about, you know, I hear about growing plants, but also about money. I mean, what should we learn that we can bring into the new?
All right. Well, you see, money has been used as the major arbiter of value, the major determinant of what is important, what is significant, what is valuable, what is worthwhile, blah, 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 blah. It has really been overloaded and overwhelmed and junkified, you might say, with all sorts of stuff that doesn't belong to money.
Right.
Money is simply an energy of exchange. So you don't have to barter, you know.
Right.
You don't have to cut your goat up into 3-4 pieces, you know, to get this and to get that and to get the other thing. You've got this wonderful convenience medium of money. And so we would recommend for people who are having concerns and issues and fears about money to take off the heavy value that has been put on money by society, by cultural imprint. Number two, to look at money as an energy of giving and receiving. You see, your wealth and your abundance and that kind of thing is really not about how much money you have in the bank, but how much energy you can receive and give, how much you are in the flow, right?
Right.
So if people can see that money is in the flow, that is a flow energy. And as such, giving and receiving and communicating, communing, connecting, being with you, flowing with you, it is a feminine energy. All right? And if people can allow themselves to just see that side of it, rather than seeing it as a means for manipulation or control, you know, or as power or as freedom or as, you know, anything that is really intangible, right?
So what you're saying is clear, the hidden things that are against the integrity are integrity.
Well, yes. The hidden agendas that are attached on to money,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a way, to become more present with it, that when it comes through, not to make such a big deal about it. And when it doesn't come through, not to make such a big deal about it. To recognize it is an illusion, and it's about receiving and giving.
Mm.
And so one of the things that all shopaholics know, okay,
mm-hmm.
And the people who have addictive shopping habits know, is that when they feel stuck energetically, in other words, when they feel stuck in some kind of emotional, discomfortable place, they know to go shopping.
Right.
Now, that is an escapist addictive form. However, the same thing applies to getting money coming into you. Move energy out. Give. Give something. Give of yourself. If you have money, give money. Go buy something. Energize. Activate. Get a flow started. Mm-hmm. Because if you go it out and then you open to receive, then it will kind of start getting that flow going, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And also your relationship with money. The relationship with money has been so tainted. You know, a lot of people had grew up in families where people did not discuss money.
Right.
And so money was this kind of mysterious, potent force that seemed to be unavailable or seemed to be something that really made people miserable or happy. You see, so there was so much relationship with money as some kind of mysterious, as a mysterious being, as some kind of force that one was powerless with. So the relationship with money needs to be healed. All the taints on money, as we said earlier, all the agendas need to be left, you know. And it's not to discount money or to look down on money. All the judgments need to be taken away.
Because
money is not bad, you know.
No, but it's what we've done. Well, what we've done for money in many cases has been rather.
And that's because there's an agenda on money for power, for freedom, for domination and control. These are agendas put on money.
The part that's come apart right now is a global problem based on that kind of thing, isn't it?
Exactly, and that's why we're saying that all the countries in the world are going to have to find a new balance, because the old balance of political power was based on money.
Right.
And when the major, major economic forces don't have the money to buy everybody and to manipulate and control, and what are the third world nations going to do if they don't have that world bank that they can just lean on, you see?
So what's going to happen? Are we going to have a brand new economy system that hasn't got money? Or is it going to fall apart that much? Is it going to be a lot more equitable, kinder?
Well, what we're seeing here is that there's more right now, and what has been happening for about the past 10 years or so, or more actually, but there's been more and more of a gulf, more and more of a divide between the very rich and everybody else.
Right.
And this has also diminished the income expectations of most people that are not part of that ultra-wealthy set.
Right.
Okay. Now, with this division, which is a very old-fashioned setup, this is almost like third world setup, where there's a few people with all the power and the cash and blah, 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 and
the
everybody
system.
Else is like the servants, the slaves, the serfs. You know, it's almost medieval, right?
Right.
This is not going to work this time, you see. And
A lot of people with a lot of money have lost a lot of money, have they?
Oh, exactly, right. Exactly. You know, what is it, Madoff lost $50 billion for people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's some really big incomes that just disappeared, you know, huge amounts of money just vanished because, you know, it's all illusion and it's all little numbers on paper. And when those numbers get reset to zero, it's gone.
Well, you know, jump me back to Enron, not that you were talking about it, but I am right now because I think it's relevant that was a big, big expose of some very nasty stuff, which looked like we were going to see balancing out in an evening. And many guides, mine included, said there would be more and more revelations like this.
Mm-hmm.
Is that done?
There are still a few more to go, but we would say that probably the biggest ones have been made now. But the thing is that even though there's been more separation between rich and poor,
mm-hmm.
that what's going to be happening is that rich is going to start to disintegrate.
Well, that would be nice.
Well, no. No, you want people to have money because they could perhaps, you know, give some of it away.
Yeah, you know, but you know, when you said rich, I made an assumption, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
You
had a judgment about money, didn't you?
Yeah.
Filthy rich, obscenely rich.
No, actually what I thought of is that there's this little segment of society which contains most of the wealth, and I thought, well, that's spilled. That's how I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right,
you know,
but you want to have rich people.
Yeah.
But the thing is, what you want to do as well, though, is to, amongst the poorer people and the middle class, you want to strengthen that sense of community, strengthen that network, strengthen that connection between them. Let them learn to work together, and they're going to have to do that because the rich have not been coming in and saying, hey, let's work together.
No. Will they?
Will they? Yes. Yes, many of them will. You know, you have some who are like Bill Gates has been doing foundations, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's always been an aspect of the rich who are giving back. And that giving is beautiful. But the rich who don't give back, the rich who only can take, they're going to find that their flow is going to diminish. Their flow is going to sludge up. But that's the same principle for anybody who is panicky in the middle or lower classes, who is needy, and going running after money. Oh, please, I got to get money. They're going to have the same thing. They're going to sludge up. The flow is going to get stopped, plugged. The giving has got to reactivate and open the gates for the flow. Now, if there's going to be a point where, and this is, it happens individually at first, and then there's going to be a greater happening around the planet in which people realize that what's more important than the actual dollar amounts of this and that and the other is the flow, is the giving and the receiving. And that it's like when a person is on their deathbed, they don't think, well, what is the classic phrase? They don't think I should have worked harder. I should have spent more hours at the office. They basically said I should have loved more.
Right.
I should have had more fun.
Right.
You see, and what this in a sense is doing by undermining the whole money structure, people are going to have to come to a reevaluation of how they spend their time, how they spend their money, how they live their life, and they're going to work together. All right. Now, back in the Depression, people worked together. People helped each other.
Mm-hmm, they sure did, didn't they?
Because the towns were like, a depressed town was like, everybody was down. Even the wealthy people were down. Everything was down. everybody kind of worked together and hauled together and so forth. And this dismantling of all the people who are like, it's only for me, 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 the selfish controlling energy is going to get dismantled because it's not going to get support. So that's going to be part of the beautiful aspect of this creation of this new paradigm. And just like as an individual going through the chaos, or has to go through and face the darkness, which means face what crap you've done. So, well, you know, as an individual, the wealthy people will have to do that too. It's, you have to face the, your inner darkness, and you have to face and come to terms with your inner light. And for most people, they don't just immediately, you know, nobly, in, with a high moral standard or whatever, go into the light and just say, oh yeah, we're going to be spiritual now. Because in the past, spirituality and money has been seen as two different playing fields entirely.
That's right.
But now, people are going to realize they have to get into this kind of flow. They have to, in a way, deal with getting back into the energy flow and the connection with all that is and into the oneness. And how do you get there? First, you have to look out. There's going to be a part of the detox where you're going to say, oh, here's where I screwed up. Here's what I, you know, here's how I limited myself. Here's how I judged. Here's how I, you know, restricted my abundance and restricted my love and restricted my light and restricted my caring, you see, and to come to terms with that so that a person can be forgiven, so they can release, and so they can step into claiming the divinity that they are. And when a person does claim their divinity, then they have made a significant step of their emergence. Because it's when you actually start to really own who you are and value who you are and value that divinity that exists within you, and you know this already, and you, most of your listeners probably do as well, what you will find is that then you have a reference point, something. It's not that it's unchanging. Yes, you are going through changes, but there's an essence of light. There will be an essence of hope, an essence of power, an essence of love that you can hold on to that's in you. And you'll have a reference point. This is what will pull you and start to emerge you out of the darkness. You see?
I see. That's great. The other interesting thing that occurs to me with all the laws of attraction and radiance energy that we experience, people that have had a lot and lose it will most likely be able to create a lot fairly swiftly, won't they?
Well, we don't know about that yet, because when you shift the paradigm, if they're going to make, if they made money in some of the old paradigm, let's say, you see, there's different layers of levels of metaphysical activity, and one is the kind of the old think and grow rich idea, you know.
Right.
And then there is the upgraded one, you know. You know, you've got to think it and feel it, and you've got to know it and envision it and dream it, and you know, and go for it and put your, you know, abundance map, your, you know, your treasure map on the wall and meditate on it every day and hold that, and that's that one. And then it has emerged into, well, you've got to change your beliefs and your thoughts so that it works with that, and so on. And a lot of people have been able to do pretty good with that. But what's happening now is going to the next stage of metaphysics, which is the stage that most people have resisted at for the most of anything. This is the stage that scares and frightens people the most, and they're going to have to face it now.
What is that stage?
All right, that's dealing with the emotional darkness.
Oh, okay.
That's,
I was going to ask you about that.
Yes, the emotional darkness. You see, when you go through the darkness, and you have to acknowledge and recognize that there's a part of you that is dark,
mm-hmm.
that does not hold the highest and most noblest of intentions, that does want to hold on to control or old agendas or whatever. And you have to see that and be loving to yourself, forgiving of yourself as you let that go. But you have to see that. And it's not like you cannot ever fail. You cannot ever be in the darkness. But if you stop judging yourself, then when you get into the darkness and you have one of those motivations that you have so much judged in others or in yourself before, then you'll be very comfortable, easy with it. Like, it won't bother you. You'll just say, okay, I'm making a new choice, and that's about it. No struggle, no having to process and go through this and that and the other and resist. Most people do a lot of resistance to intensity of emotions, particularly if they have to do with feeling unworthy or undeserving or feelings of shame, failure, humiliation, separation, and loneliness. These emotions are going to have to be faced for those who are creating a new paradigm.
But you're saying that it's much faster than it used to be, not as much processing?
It's not as much processing, absolutely, because so much has been done. But the problem is that the emotional stuff, especially in the darkness, the part of the darkness, and integrating in the light emotions too, the sense of incredible power and light and divinity and presence and destiny that people carry that they don't acknowledge. You know, that has to be faced as well. And most people have avoided the shame or the dark stuff for so long. And, okay, no, we're just going to change beliefs. We're going to just change our thoughts.
Right.
But they didn't change the feelings, or they didn't change some of the tainted, distorted emotions. They didn't change those because they didn't want to face those. They didn't want to look at the possibility that they had failed. They didn't want to look at the possibility that somehow or another they were unlovable or unworthy or something. They didn't want to look at that. They don't want to deal with the emotions, the intensities that went with that, and the scary stuff that comes along with all of that. They didn't want to spend the time there. That's the unfinished business. And
so how can we do that?
Coming now, you see.
How can we do it? Can you give people an exercise or something?
Well, all right. Well, look at it this way. So we'll talk to your listeners, shall we?
Yes, please.
Okay. So those of you who would like to participate in this, just use this as an experiment for you to see where your darkness is and to see where your light is. Because when you have those reference points, you can, in a way, start pulling yourself out and start being the beacon of light to other people that you came to be in the first place. Look to where in the recent past that you've made what you perceive of as perhaps a mistake. Maybe you invested in the wrong place, or maybe there's something that happened and you lost a source of income. Or maybe look at the places in the past few months where something that you thought or that you'd hoped would be secure for you is not. Where all of a sudden you've had to reevaluate or look at it or start to be concerned about something that you thought you'd already handled or already dealt with.
I have a few of those.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has some of that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then also, as you're doing that, think about also, perhaps, places in your past where when you're aiming for success, that you would fall short. Now, you might have to go back more years for this, or maybe there's something in the recent past about that, but there's this sense of disappointment in yourself. Where is that? Go sense it. Go imagine that disappointment in you, that maybe you didn't rise to a challenge sufficiently, or maybe you didn't have what it took to make the changes that you needed to, or maybe you just weren't really supported and nurtured and appreciated enough to step out of your box, or whatever it is, but where somehow or another you weren't able to get yourself lifted to that next level or to that success that you wanted. Maybe you had a dream of a big business that was going to make a fortune and you were going to do this wonderful, noble work for humankind, and it just never gelled because your partner undermined you over here, or they sabotaged that, or somehow or another, or betrayed you. You see, these kinds of emotional energies are present in the distorted places, in the darkness inside you. And all of those need to be, in a sense, cleared. So as you tune into these dark energies, don't judge them. Just be aware of them. Just be present with a feeling that somehow or another, maybe you weren't enough. Maybe you didn't do it good enough. Maybe you failed. Maybe someone else let you down. Or maybe you let somebody down. Somewhere you didn't do what you promised to do. Maybe there was a rejection or a separation, and you felt isolated, separate, alone. These are not positive states. Most people would call them negative states.
So, but they're part of our shadow, part of our darkness, aren't
part
they?
Of the dark shadow, part of the dark chaos, part of the darkness within you. And so if you tune into that darkness without judging it, without being disappointed and revving up that disappointment in yourself and saying, oh no, I didn't do that. I still have this dark stuff. I shouldn't have this dark stuff. I should be all positive. I should be this light being, and I shouldn't have this dark stuff. Let that go. Let that idea go. Everyone has their dark stuff. And you're never going to be all light. That's not the way the universe works. Universe is a balance, is a dance between the darkness and the light. You are both. You play in both. Yeah, there is all of that. Also in the darkness are limited ideas of who you are. If you still see yourself from the point of view of the child that just never gets his or her needs fulfilled, or if you see yourself still from the point of view of a teenager, always yearning for that ultimate romantic love, always yearning for that love, always filled with fantasies that never seem to come true. Or that young 20-something, fresh into the world, feeling you have to know everything and you have to know how it all is supposed to be, and you have to go out there and change everything and be the big triumphant one.
Revolutionary.
The revolutionary, the rebel, the one who's going to show everybody else how the new reality works, how it is done better. And then you failed. You didn't make it. You see, that self that found that, oh gosh, earning this money is too much of a struggle. It takes too much away from me. Or I finally get this marriage going or whatever, and now I have to keep my mouth shut, and it's just a hassle.
Well, so what about other lives, our souls? We've accrued so many different reactions from different lives. Is all of that required, or is just dealing with this life pretty much?
Actually, we would say the focus is on this lifetime. All that comes from other lifetimes at this point in dealing with this, because really what this is a shift to the future, is about really acknowledging the darkness that you have had here.
Okay.
You know, other lifetimes can intensify it a bit, can pull so-called karmic patterns or situations into your life, but how you respond to them, how do you react to them, that's here. So we would say focus here this lifetime. Now,
we may not have
been enjoying this little journey through the darkness, but what we'd like to suggest is just feel that darkness, come to that point of where you feel the essence of the darkness within you, the essence of those darker emotions, of those limited places, perhaps stagnant places or painful places. Go inside and feel that within you. Go and feel it as an essence, as a single energy. Sense this as your darkness. Now don't judge it. Don't say I shouldn't have this. Yeah, it's there. It's part of you learning to love yourself, is that as you hold that, as you feel that, to recognize that you came to the darkness to bring a beam of light from the darkness into the light of day, to bring that beam of light, which is your truth, your light, your message, new reality, from the darkness to the light. And for you to be able to do that, you have to go to the darkness. That's where it begins. That's where you came in. This is what your parents loaded on you. This is what your genetics and your family tree loaded on you. This is what your society loaded on you, your teachers and mentors and partners and coworkers all laid on you as it was laid upon them. These energies of darkness, this is what you're going to change. All right? Accept it. Accept that it's okay that you went through it and that you have gone through it or that you still are flailing around in it. Accept that it's okay to be there. It's okay to be in the darkness. It's okay to have darkness. It's okay to feel shame and inadequacy and failure.
It's well, it's
okay.
A relief to hear you say that, isn't it?
We hope so.
Well, I think
that
so many people in
that it's okay to be there,
yeah.
Because the intention isn't to go there and to die there.
Right.
Isn't to go there and be trapped by it and suffer the rest of your life as some kind of stupid punishment for whatever you did in other lifetimes or the inadequacies of this one. It's about going there and stepping into the love of yourself there. Bring the okayness of your divine nature to that. And you, in your power, is the only one who can do that.
Mm-hmm.
No one else can give you permission for it to be okay. We can say this, but it's you who is listening to us who can say, okay, it's okay that I have all this darkness. It doesn't mean I'm stupid and weak and
failed.
Yes, exactly. It's not that I have to carry this burden of guilt or that I have to be ill to as a punishment. I don't have to suffer because of it. I just acknowledge that it is here. Indeed, it is here. And love yourself enough right now just to come from your place of power to recognize, you know, this is what I learned in Reality Creation 101, right? I learned how to create darkness.
Hmm.
I learned how to accept it from others, to bring it into me and integrate it and learn how it works within me. And I've done some really great, wonderfully dark, wonderfully limiting realities. My, have I been good at this. You see?
Yeah.
Right.
Make it joyful even.
So just acknowledge, hey, you know, if you know how to do a reality, that's painful. You also, inside there, in your truth, you know how to do a reality that's absolutely joyous. You just haven't chosen quite yet to do it because you have some feeling that you either don't deserve it or you should be punished or whatever it is.
So the relentless drive of the hidden darkness is kind of released when one is accepting and self-loving.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hmm. And this is something that people who go and experience shamanic releases
mm-hmm.
can understand,
hmm.
is that the shaman is irreverent, just will not take everything seriously and is not busy cleaning out all the darkness so they can be all light. The shaman knows that they have to go into the darkness for each client.
Oh.
They go into the darkness, or they go into the underworld. They go seeking the soul fragment or whatever they do, but they know that they have to go into the darkness. They have to be comfortable working in the darkness.
Because that's where the gold is, right?
Because that's where the treasure is, absolutely. To retrieve that, to bring that, to make the person more whole, because the person fragments themselves into the darkness. And then is afraid of the light or feels that they cannot go into the light. They resist the light. They think, oh, well, I've got to be there. I've got to be there. I've got to be there. And they keep focusing on it and focusing on it and focusing on it. And then when push comes to shove, they pull the rug out from under themselves. They sabotage themselves with the darkness that has been unloved.
And what we were talking about the prior show was that it really is of service to be able to see people around you having their darkness and their amazing light all at one time.
Absolutely. And to see that in yourself is the most important, of course.
Excellent.
And as you see that in yourself, that darkness, then you can say, I accept myself as I am.
Wonderful. That's a tremendous exercise. Thank you.
All right. I accept myself as I am. But the most important part of this exercise is still ahead.
Oh.
Because, you see, even though most people have so much terror associated with the darkness, when they are actually able to relax about the darkness, they can look at the light, and the light can seem overwhelming.
Oh, my.
And sometimes it's they've been focused so much on bracing themselves against the darkness, hiding the darkness, compensating for the darkness, rushing away and escaping from the darkness, denying the darkness, diminishing and discounting the darkness, you know, all sorts of reframing of the darkness with their ego and so on. And so much focus has been made on hiding the darkness so nobody else would see it.
Right.
That they haven't spent their time. They haven't spent that energy of attention and awareness of will on honoring and respecting and really knowing the light. They say, I'm going to the light, I'm going to the light. But the intensity with which you approach your darkness is also the intensity in which you can approach the light. So when you handle the darkness, when you come and accept that, then all of a sudden the light within you is so much more intense. The possibilities and the potentials become so much more, so much greater. And a lot of people who make it valiantly through the darkness to forgive themselves, to heal themselves, to let that detox go, to let that all that judgment, which is basically the detox is the judgment and the punishments they gave themselves, the sabotages, the taints, the destructions. That to realize that now that's not there. The intensity is in the light, and they haven't prepared for the light. And most people feel totally inadequate when they face something they don't know much about. All right? It's like, oh my, you know. And the ego cannot do this.
Hmm.
Now the compensations of ego for the darkness, very well developed, very detailed. You know, very, very good hiding people have known how to do, and so that they can come across real strong and brave and bold and smart and all that kind of stuff. But all of a sudden, they don't know how to maneuver in the light. And they want this connection with God, Goddess, all that is, with the sacred, with the divine, and yet they don't feel that connection. And so that's really where the focus will then have to be. And this is what actually creates the emergence itself, is that when you begin to acknowledge. So as you listen to us right now, just acknowledge, let us speak to you. You are a spark of consciousness, a piece of light, a part of the body of God, Goddess, all that is. You are a divine reality creator and co-creator with others and with the divine in you and with all sorts of wonderful beings, your team, your crew that works with you on all sorts of dimensions, so many who are there love you. You and they and are creating a reality, not just for you, but yes, you get to enjoy it. You get to be present with it, but a reality that you can share with others. You are doing your work. You are a powerful person. It is your choice. And you always are in your power to make a choice, whether you acknowledge it or not. You are divine by your nature. You are a light being. You are an incredibly beautiful, multifaceted, multidimensional being. Honor that right now. Respect that. Respect the wisdom that you do have. Respect the power you do acknowledge.
Well, thank you so much. And we have to unfortunately go.
Mm-hmm.
But if you could tell when your next show is, then other people could hear you or the listeners could hear you.
All right. Well, we have a show, The Path of Power, and it's every first and third Monday, right here on BBS Radio, Channel 1. And it's at 6 p.m. Pacific Time.
Is it a call-in show?
Yes, absolutely.
Great.
And we generally speak to 3, maybe 4 people in a particular evening.
Wonderful.
Any kind of topic you want to speak about. Because what we normally do is we just talk about some theme, some idea we present, and then we take callers. Not on necessarily on that idea, but on anything.
Excellent.
So we've gone in some really interesting directions, people who like to talk about other dimensions and all sorts of phenomena, and other people who want to look at the deepest emotional healing of their pain and their relationships. And we've gone the whole gamut.
Wonderful. Well, we'll tune in, and I must say thank you so much, and it's www.galexisspirit.com.
Yes, and if you people tune on to the, you know, go there, on the first page, right there on the home page, a message arises, and we recommend that people read that every day and follow it, because that can help you emerge.
Wonderful. I thank you so much.
You're very welcome, dear one. It has been our pleasure, and it has been absolutely a joy for us to speak to all your listening audience as well.
Thank you so much, Galexis.
And
to Ginger. Many blessings.
All right. Farewell.
Farewell. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, all right, fellow paradigm shifters, that was Galexis, and that was wonderful. Join me with Jackie Salvitti at 8 o'clock on Thursday night, and we'll talk with Jackie's team, her ET healing and explorations in consciousness. And I forget who my guest is next Monday, but next Tuesday, if you'd like to email me, Veronica at Veronica Entwistle, for a session, or to find out, put your name on my list, find out who the guests are, or make a suggestion or feedback. And remember, we're on GlastonburyRadio.net. So isn't that exciting? www.GlastonburyRadio.net. Many, many blessings. Let's breathe in the love and pass it on. We'll see you on Thursday night.